Hello, I'm Dango Rose, and you're listening to the Mountaineer Podcast in conjunction with the Mountaineer Newspaper, the voice of the Peak to Peak, online and in print. Brought to you by Mountain Vale Media. Now, listen in for the show.
And welcome to this week's edition of Music of the Mountains. Our guest this week, do you mind introducing yourself real quick?
My name is Dave Ashton, a.k.a. DJ Deep Rock, Denver Program Manager for KGNU Community Radio.
And I hear you're performing as DJ Deep Rock very soon at Eldora.
Yes, I'll be playing the boombox on the slopes, the converted storage container down on the deck, and I'll be doing that March 29th, which is a Friday, a couple Fridays from now, and I'll be playing vinyl, 12-inch singles and LPs. And making sure the wind doesn't blow through too hard. Playing vinyl on the slopes is a whole other adventure. Most DJs just pull up with their backpack and pull their laptop out. I'm hauling down the turntables, the mixer, box upon box of records. You have to have two mixers and a backup turntable because you're way up on the slopes. You don't know if you've got everything you need or if everything's going to freeze or what. So it's a lot of loading in. It's fun. Eldora is a great place to play, and I always get a lot of love. This is like my third year getting to spin on the slopes, and each year they've improved their infrastructure a little bit, so it's gotten better.
So how did you get started DJing in the first place?
Well, I guess for me, I just really, from a little kid, had a passion for hip-hop music and culture, and I was reading books at the time in the mid-80s, like 84, 85, that showed that a DJ is one of the most important people in hip-hop, and I thought as a little kid, I could never be that. I could never be responsible for everybody good time. So I just became a rapper. I got so into hip hop, writing rhymes, collecting tapes, having to hear all of the music as it comes out through the late 80s, early 90s, into the mid 90s, all these great eras. Hip hop kept changing, the sound, the look, the dances, all of that. So I was a dancer and a rapper as a teenager collecting tapes. And then my first real DJing experience was getting myself elected student body president at Denver East High School, also known as head boy. It's a split role with head boy and head girl. And one of the main responsibilities is to do the daily announcements. And so you have this 90-second basically radio show, third period, which is a few minutes longer so that you can do administrative stuff and they can take a time out for the announcements. And so instead of playing the little xylophone, when we would open up the kind of desktop microphone, there's a xylophone there, but I got permission to play tapes as long as I could make sure there was no cussing on it. So I had this little tiny boombox, little locker boombox that I would bust out and play Public Enemy or some DJ Quick or something. And then I would also start, in addition to the regular announcements, there was always extra time. So I would promote concerts and say, this is an all-ages show, this is happening. So I saw Public Enemy like three times in high school and was going to a lot of shows and all the rest of that. So just going to teen clubs to dance, that was where I first was hearing DJs. We would go to Rock Island and the lights would still be on underage from 8 to 10, and then they kick you out and the old people or the grown-ups are waiting online to come in at 10 o'clock and the real party starts. They turn the lights off. So it was all this stuff happening through my teenage years and all that.
And what did you connect with about hip-hop in particular?
Well, to me, it just felt like the youth movement of our generation. I looked at how the baby boomers and the 60s people looked at their artists as holy icons. And I didn't feel that way about other stuff happening in the 80s. I mean, it was either hip hop or heavy metal or pop. Those were essentially the three things that were accessible through radio, through MTV, or just TV in general. You just had to fall in one of these pockets. So the pop stuff, you just couldn't avoid it. So you couldn't love it, right? It was so ubiquitous. George Michael, and you just can't get away from it. But so if you're going to be in the underground, it's heavy metal versus hip hop. And funny enough, at the time, hip hop was way more wholesome. It upheld values of education and cultural heritage and pride and the youth movement, stopping police violence, unity and organizing, and all these things are kind of ingrained in the fact that Black culture has to have its own society formed within a society. So while heavy metal was sex and drugs, hip hop was something else. Of course, nowadays hip hop is synonymous with sex and drugs, but that was then. It was just my peers, a lot of teenage rappers, because it's very affordable. You can record a rap album very cheap, so it's very different from the ability to pull a band together. So it was young people talking to young people, to me.
What kinds of things do you focus on when you perform?
Well, yeah, it's just a lot of records. I just play what I think of as beats. And there's beats across all genres of music. The hip-hop culture essentially in the original days was just founded on binding beats on obscure LPs and breaking them out. So it's all commercially released music, but typically I'm in the realm of overlooked artists with what to me are big sounds. And I play some classics as well. The last time I played at Eldora, I played like an hour of reggae to start because it was a 9 a.m. needle drop. I mean, I was up there setting up at 7:30 in the morning when I'm usually not out of bed. You know what I mean? Or just starting the coffee maker and listening to Democracy Now with Amy Goodman. So that first hour, I just played a bunch of reggae music, and they've got a lot of the same beats. So you can mix a lot of reggae joints together, and it sounds super tight. You can make it sound like one song. And so that's what typically I'm looking for, is to make connections and find those beats that actually mix together, or just zero in on a moment in time, maybe post-punk, early 80s post-punk with the good synthesizers and hand claps. So I just kind of segue through one genre of music to another.
What's it like performing these sets live for you?
I have to say that it's amazing. It's really fun, especially if my mix hand is solid. There's a lot more variables at play than having that digital ability to lock in your beats per minute or your tempos or key shift things. There's a lot more that could go wrong. So when it all goes right, people super enjoy it. I actually think live in the moment, when people see someone mixing vinyl, it just gives them a higher appreciation, you know? DJing now is a widely embraced possibility for people, experience that people have. For a long time, DJing was a marginal activity, and now it's a lot more widely known and people embrace it. So what I love is actually people coming up and giving me love because they themselves are digital DJs and they see me doing the thing with the vinyl, and they know, those are the ones who really know how hard I might be working back there.
Is there anything that you want audiences to take away when they come and see your show?
Well, I want them to take away that, what do I want people to take away? Well, I want them to be surprised. I want them to feel like they heard something they never heard before and they loved it. I want them to feel like it was really an experience and not background music.
What are some of your favorite settings to perform in?
Well, speaking of playing reggae music, I really love playing on my friend's sound system, Pomegranate Sound. It's a large, hand-built, custom-made sound that kind of originates in Jamaican culture. These big, giant four stacks of speakers. It's so big that we have to get a U-Haul trailer to move them when we go places. So playing on Pomegranate outside, say at the Art District on Santa Fe First Friday Art Walk, is just the best. I love that. Other than that, basically house parties are really fun. If I get the opportunity to play rap music with profanity, that's a big opportunity, because since I'm on the radio all the time, I'm always extra cautious about having radio edits or even doing my own edits on the fly, using the crossfader to edit out profanity. Because I rap and DJ, I can ride along with the rhyme and cut out the cussing. That's what I do on air. So allowing the cussing to run in a house party situation feels very decadent. And I don't like playing in the bars too much in Denver because people do too much coke.
And what do you like about Eldora as a venue?
They take care of us as DJs. They're very accommodating. They manage an incredible amount of people over the course of the season, and it doesn't always work out perfect. Sometimes signals get crossed, but they work hard for you. They hook it up, and it's a respectable wage. So a lot of times you set up to DJ something and people act like you owe them money, and Eldora, they've just treated me well.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
Well, yeah, I would add that the best place for people to learn how to DJ and get some real experience and guidance and put it into practice swiftly is through KGNU Community Radio's volunteer training programs. I am always teaching people at our Denver studio in the Buell Media Center. I'm always having people training in afternoons and evenings, working on some DJ skills in the studio and then taking it to the air. So for people that are interested in this ever-growing experience and field of DJing, yeah, definitely think about KGNU as an opportunity to get your feet wet and learn the ropes. So you can email me at dave@kgnu.org and I can tell you how the process works. One last quote you could close out with. Let me say, everybody out there with any common sense, if you want to hang on to your money, don't start buying vinyl.
Thank you so much to Dave for coming on board and joining us for the podcast. If you want to see him performing his set live, you can catch him at Eldora, 2861 Eldora Ski Road in Nederland on Friday, March 29th, 2024, starting at noon. And now, for this week's Music Mentions. Head to Busey Brews, located at 70 East 1st Street in Nederland on Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m. to see Nick of Time and Steph J performing live. Head to the Diner Barnett, located at 121 North Jefferson Street in Nederland on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. for a Damn Jam Open Jam Night, on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. for a Karaoke Night, on Fridays at 9 p.m. for a DJ Friday, and on Sundays at 6 p.m. for an open mic night. Head to Eldora Mountain Resort, located 2861 Eldora Ski Road in Nederland, on Friday, March 15th at 11 a.m. for a Friday Timbers Tap House event with PJ Moon, on Friday, March 15th at noon for a DJs in the Woodward Boombox series with Aaron Stereo, on Saturday, March 16th at 9 a.m. for a DJs in the Woodward Boombox series with Well Tuned, on Saturday, March 16th at 1 p.m. for a Fireside in Timbers Lodge series event with Andrew McConathy Trio featuring Dan Andre and Silas Herman, and on Sunday, March 17th at 9 a.m. for a DJs in the Woodward Boombox series with Thirst, formatted 3R$T, and Saturday, March 17th at 1 p.m. for a Fireside in Timbers Lodge series with Piney Tops. Head to the Gold Dirt Distillery, located at 41 Main Street in Rollinsville on Sunday, March 17th at 7:30 p.m. for a St. Patty's Day Rollywood Karaoke Night. Head to the Gold Hill General Store, located at 531 Main Street in Gold Hill on Friday, March 15th at 7 p.m. to see Goldie and the Grindstones performing live, and on Saturday, March 16th at 7 p.m. to see Derek Dainzold performing live. Head to the Grand Z Casino, located at 321 Gregory Street in Central City on Friday, March 15th at 8 p.m. to see New Family Dog. If you missed that show, you can catch them again on Saturday, March 16th at 8 p.m. Head to Howlin' Brewing, located at 51 A Main Street in Rollinsville on Thursday, March 14th at 5 p.m. for an open bluegrass jam, on Saturday, March 16th at 6 p.m. to see Strange Birds performing live, and on Sunday, March 17th at 4 p.m. to see Derek Dainzold performing live. Head to the Jamestown Mercantile, located at 108 Main Street in Jamestown on Friday, March 15th at 7 p.m. to see Clay Rose performing live, on Wednesday, March 20th at 5 p.m. for an open mic night, and on Thursday, March 21st at 7 p.m. to see Many Mountains performing live. Head to the JKQ Barbecue, located at 200 Gregory Street in Blackhawk on Friday, March 15th at 6 p.m., on Saturday, March 16th at 5 p.m., and for a special St. Patrick's Day performance on Sunday, March 17th at 5 p.m. to see Boys of the Town performing live. Head to Nodderwood Brewing, located at 250 North Caribou Street in Maryland on Friday, March 15th at 6 p.m. to see Wumph performing live, on Saturday, March 16th at 1 p.m. to see PJ Moon performing live, on Saturday, March 16th at 3 p.m. to see Break Signals performing live, and on Saturday, March 16th at 5:30 p.m. to see B Random performing live. Also, be sure to head there every Sunday at 5 p.m. for Jazz Sundays. And finally, head to the Very Nice Brewing Company, located at 20 East Lakeview Drive, number 112 in Nederland on Friday, March 15th at 6 p.m. to see Aaron Mitchell performing live, on Saturday, March 16th at 5 p.m. to see Paul Dyer performing live, and on Sunday, March 17th at 5 p.m. to see The Gale performing live. Did we miss you or your performance? Want to submit your music listing in the Peach Peak area? Do you have updates to your business or to your performance? Please call 303-810-5409 or email info@themountaineer.com to be included in the next print edition or the next podcast of The Mountaineer.
And And that's it for our show. Subscribe online to get access to more news, weekly updates to our community calendar, and a link to our YouTube channel by visiting themountaineer.com. Be sure to use the coupon code PODCAST when subscribing for a 10% discount, only available to our listeners. I'm Dango Rose. Thank you for listening.